This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. It's time to start thinking about those 2014 vacation plans. Be it a Disney destination or any destination, you need to go see the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel to make 2014 the best vacation year yet for you. So go visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or you can click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Hi, this is Michael Krause, and you are listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
From the lavish Studio 1A at the Mickey Miles Podcast Complex, this is episode 137 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean again. Hello, Michelle.
Oh, please pass the champagne, Mike. I love these new digs.
It's amazing, huh? I mean, the 3D, whatever it is, it's really...
The indoor Olympic running track and the state-of-the-art fitness center. It's
but
nice.
My favorite's the Dole Whip dispenser. But
how are you today? Happy spring.
Happy spring. Is it spring?
No, I just want it to be spring. I want it to be spring.
Spring has not sprung yet.
It has not sprung here in New Hampshire, but I know we have listeners who are in Austin, Texas, and in Florida, and California. And
Venus, Mars.
Yes, we do. I wish I was living there these days. So, Mike, I have a shout-out and then some information. What order should I do them in?
Let's go alphabetically in reverse.
Okay, so I guess that's shout-out first. The shout-out is to Lee and Laura. Lee Zimmerman and Laura Galbraith are our running buddies from a long time ago from Team All Ears, and they hail from San Diego, California. And we had a question that we could not answer about traveling from California to Walt Disney World and running, and you'll hear it later on in the show, but they stepped up to the plate and gave us a great answer, so we really appreciate their help. They're really nice people, and you may meet them at a Mickey Miles meet sometime. Who knows? So the next thing we have is some information, and that is that we have our Tinkerbell meetup for those of you who are lucky to go to the Tinkerbell, and that is going to be at the Hearthstone Lodge at the Grand Californian, and that's on Saturday, January 18th at 11 a.m., and it's going to be hosted by one of our Mickey Miles podcast team. Eddie McCoy is going to be there, and he's going to say hello to everybody, so there'll be listeners there too, so if you want to go meet some Mickey Miles peeps, you should do that. And Tinkerbell is moving, Mike. Maybe we're going to get a chance to do Tinkerbell sometime soon. It's going to be Mother's Day coming up.
Yeah, I think there's all kinds of shifts that we're going to be seeing over the next year or so. I think that there are a number of things that Run Disney wants to put in place, and I think that they want to spread them out. I think they want to spread the race weekends out a little bit more.
Well, that would make it more doable, maybe. But I'll be traveling to California. It sounds like I definitely want to do that. It's on my list. So what do we do today?
I think we should do questions because there are always questions that are waiting to be answered.
Well,
so why don't
good.
We answer some questions?
Because I spent about an hour organizing them, so it's good that you said that.
That's right.
Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go, and as always, please start us off.
Okay, so our first question is from our buddy Richard Pete, and he's giving us some information, some runner vocabulary here, which I think is helpful. And he says, it is my understanding that the term back-to-back refers to races on consecutive weekends or weeks. two races on consecutive days is called a double, and three races is a triple. Four consecutive races is a quadzilla. I think this applies when the races are of the same distance. So that's interesting. So back-to-back means that there's a week in between your races. So I guess a lot of the races that we have at Disney now are doubles or triples, or the dopey would be a quadzilla. It sounds like a monster, like a from one of those old Japanese movies.
but he says that those terms apply only when they are of the same distance.
Yeah, so maybe we're breaking ground with new vocabulary.
Yeah, could be.
There must be some way to describe races that double. Every race doubles the next day.
No matter what you call it, dopey is dopey, goofy is goofy, and double dare is double dare, and glass slipper challenge is glass slipper challenge.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard. Our next question comes from Mike Soskill from Newfoundland, Pennsylvania. And Mike says, hello, Michelle and Mike. About a month ago, you read my question on the air about running the Castaway Key 5K with my 10-year-old daughter. After getting off the cruise, I wanted to give you and listeners an update. I was hoping that my 10-year-old daughter would be able to run, but they are now strictly enforcing the 12-year-old age limit for the run. Those under 12 cannot run, walk, or be on the course, even if accompanied by their parents due to liability concerns. For parents wishing to run, you can bring your children with you to the 5K meetup at 8:15 and drop them off at Scuttles Cove, which is the Castaway Keys children's area, on the way to the start line. We were disappointed, but are looking forward to running the 5K together on a future cruise. Hope this info helps others who are planning to run the 5K. Well, Michelle, what have you got to say about this?
Well, this is really interesting, and I'm sorry, Mike, I think we kind of led you astray because we've heard we've friends of the podcast who did run with their younger kids. I'm wondering why this is, because this goes sort of against the rules that they have for other 5Ks, because younger kids can run 5Ks at Disney World and Disneyland. The only thing that I'm thinking of is that I think the 5K on Castaway Key used to be sort of an informal kind of a run where, you know, everybody got a medal at the end. It was sort of you got off the boat, and I think Run Disney is becoming such a popular brand that, you know, people, it's probably becoming bigger. And Castaway Key can be quite warm, so maybe they're worried about, you know, kids overheating and kids maybe spur of the moment running and not being trained for the run. I think that should be a parent's decision, though. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking about, number one, is this a sponsored Run Disney event, number one, or is it a Disney Cruise Line event? Mm. Secondly, I'd like to know when a 12-year-old runs a 5K at a Walt Disney Resort location or for a Disney Run Disney weekend. Does that 12-year-old have to sign a waiver, or does the parent have to sign a waiver? And possibly there may not be any waivers for 12-year-olds for this particular race.
Well, 12-year-old can run the race. It's under 12 who can't run, and the parent.
Oh, I'm sorry. The yeah. Okay, so she's 10. I'm sorry, she's 10.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Okay, so wait a minute. So a 10-year-old can run a 5K?
A 10-year-old can run a 5K at Walt Disney World. What Mike is telling us is that he tried to run the 5K at Castaway Key with his 10-year-old, and he could not. That the new policy says a 12-year-old is the youngest who can run a 5K.
Okay, again, I don't know if this is a Run Disney-sponsored event.
Yeah,
or...
I think that's a good point, because I don't think it is. I think it's, you know, done by the Disney Cruise Line, and it's not like they're Run Disney. So maybe they're just worried about, you know, liability. There aren't the, you know, water, maybe water stops. I don't know what's along. I haven't done this 5K.
There could be some issues that they have looked into. They don't have enough medical staff on the race course. There could be a whole bunch of things.
There could have been some sort of a problem that happened too that caused this to be implemented. But I would love it if people kept us posted if you do run a race and maybe ask this question again. It seems to me a 10-year-old should be able to do a 5K, in my opinion. I know my 10-year-old, when he was 10, did a 5K.
Or have some type of child race
Yes. Yeah.
event.
Yeah. That's a good point. Okay, the next question is from Denise Trowicki, and she says, so wine and dine is under my belt, and it's on to the next half. If I want to get faster, don't I decrease my Galloway intervals? At wine and dine, she did a 4-1. Hubby thinks I should increase to a 5-1 to get faster. That would speed me up. I thought the opposite. Mike, what do you think?
This is very much an individual kind of a thing, because I think for some individuals it would work if you increase the walk portions and decrease the run portions. And for others, if you increase the run and keep the walk portion at the same, it sounds like, I mean, that seems to me like it would make logical sense that that would work. I think that what you have to keep in mind, though, and Jeff has always reminded us, that if you do that, then you might get tired towards the end. And the whole idea of the run-walk-run method is to be able to finish as healthy as you can and to make sure that you're not injured. And it has nothing to do with speed, although, again, depending upon how you arrange your intervals, it might work for you. One of the things that I've noticed over the past 3 years, Michelle, is that everybody's different. Sometimes I'll do certain intervals that will work better than others. Whatever you do, Denise, you need to figure out what works and stick to it. If you constantly change and fool around with it and adjust, then you really may not you're doing yourself a disservice. So figure out what works for you and work that. But remember, it's not necessarily speed that Jeff was designing this for. He was designing it so that everybody could do whatever race they wanted to do and finish in a very healthy state. Michelle?
Well, let's also remember, too, that I agree with everything that you're saying. Everybody's different. Jeff just did 30-15s at the Space Coast Marathon and qualified for the Boston Marathon. So I think it's counterintuitive. I know for me that I'm slowing down because of the dopey training that I did. But it really didn't affect my time. In fact, in some ways, increased my time when I went to the 40-20s that I was using. I think that if you want to increase your speed, you have to play around with your intervals. And I would try the shorter ones just to give it a shot. But also remember, there are other things that you can do to increase your speed. There's speed work that you can do when you're not doing your long runs. So I would play around with it. But I wouldn't. I think one of the things that Mike said that I want to underscore, and one of the things that I found with the shorter intervals, is that you have more gas in the tank at the end. So it keeps your splits, your time per mile, more consistent. What do you think, Mike?
Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do recall that when we had Jeff on a week or so, or 2 weeks ago, he mentioned just that if you do a lot of walk breaks early on, that you will have a lot in the tank in case you need it at the end.
Denise, I'd love it if you report back to us. Tell us what you try out. Yeah.
Okay. Brian Calhoun is our next questionnaire, and he says, can anyone attend the expo, or do you have to be a participant in the current race? I'm not running until the Princess Half, but I'd love to attend the seminars and check out the merchandise. Brian, come on down, because everybody and anybody can get into the expo. Anybody and anybody can buy anything in the expo. Anybody and anybody can go to the speaker series. So don't be afraid to go to the World of Sports and check it out.
Yeah, a lot of family members come with runners and shop around, too. So if I were around and I wasn't running the races, I definitely would go to the expo. It's kind of like a gigantic running mall. So if there's anything that you think that you'd like, a lot of times there are discounted prices on a lot of the merchandise, so you should go, definitely.
Yeah.
And he makes a great point about the seminars. If you live in the Orlando area or you're visiting, the seminars are really valuable. It's your way to talk to Jeff Galloway or ask a question from Diet Diva Tara Guidus, so you should definitely go.
And attending the Race Expo will bring back those wonderful Christmas shopping memories, too.
Okay, the next, it's not a question, it's a comment, but I wanted to let everybody know that the folks from Medals for Metal was sending everybody, all our listeners, a Happy New Year wish. And I wanted to read this because I wanted to remind people we had Medals for Metal on right at the beginning of our podcast. I want to say like episode 12 or 13, and they are a great place to donate your medals. And they give medals to people who are battling life-threatening diseases. They will give your medal on your behalf, or if you live close to where they're distributed, they'll ask you to come if you want to go with them. So I know this is one of my to-dos on 2014. I have lots of medals that I want to donate for kids and for adults. So I just want to send along those Happy New Year wishes.
Good point. Good point. Our next question, or actually a commentary, comes from Heather Richards Brickford, who says, "So I was looking for the post for the show 118, Running Disney Costumes, but I would recommend www.etsy.com. I saw all kinds of Disney-inspired running costumes." So, Michelle, have you visited Etsy.com?
It's pretty famous place. It's for people who do crafts to sell their place, to sell their stuff. And I've popped around on there too. And it's kind of a, you know, it's a great way to, if you're not a sewer, the way that I'm not a sewer, if you wanted to get a Disney costume, Mike.
Maybe as long as the costumes are not so-so.
Yeah. All right. So maybe people can share if they got something cool. They could share it on the Mickey Miles podcast Facebook page. So thank you, Heather. I like that people are writing in with suggestions and things like that, too. So our buddy Jill Fox, who's been on the show, says she's far behind on podcasts. What? Okay, maybe she's not our friend anymore. She says she's far behind on podcasts, but she's looking for a review about e-training from Mickey Milers. She says, "I'm thinking of making the investment as last year was brutal for me with injuries and illness. Just want to hear how it went for Michelle or anyone else who gave it a go." And Jill, we are definitely going to have, probably in the next few weeks, we're going to invite Jeff back to talk about e-training. And we'll have myself and at least one other person who has done e-training. I know that our buddy Amanda North has done it. Our friend who was on the show a few weeks ago, Kimberly Torres-Markey, did training with Jeff. So, and we'll have Jeff on too to talk about how you get started and how much it costs and things like that. So for me, it was fantastic. It was just, I'm a direction follower. It was nice to have somebody to hold me accountable every week and to check in, but also to kind of tailor my training around the races that I was doing and the injuries that I had and things like that. So I know Mike's gotten an earful every week talking about my training with Jeff, but I loved it. But we'll do a whole show on it. Don't you think, Michael?
Hold on. I'm emptying my ear right now. Yes. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I really am.
I think you've actually gotten the benefits of my conversations with Jeff because he's been very responsive and helpful. And,
yes, he has.
And the other thing, too, is, and I know we will have him on, but he has an amazing memory. He told us he has, I think he said 100 clients, e-training clients. And he just remembers what people, you know, I'll see him at an expo. He'll say, "Oh, how's your Achilles? And how's this going?" And he remembers all the little things I told him. So nice. All right, moving on.
No one can forget you, Michelle. The next question is a very good one. It comes from Maureen Haggard. And she says, "My husband wants to know, if you get swept, do you still receive a medal?" Well, Maureen, first, the medals are called finisher medals. And because they're called finisher medals, you have to finish to get them. Now, having said that, I will say that some people I've heard in the past have gotten swept and have been offered a medal. So, and that bothers me because I think that if there is a runner who unfortunately for one reason or another is swept, gets injured or whatever, and that person doesn't get a medal, then why would that person not get a medal? And runners who were swept in a previous race get a medal. And sometimes it's based on the conditions. For instance, I do believe, Michelle, that last year for the Walt Disney World Marathon. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that there were some people who may have been swept because of the heat, and they were given a medal.
You know, it's interesting. I think we could have a whole show about this. This is a very quick question, but it's very interesting. I think, Mike, what you're saying is it's not that people who are swept are given a medal that bothers you. It's the inconsistent application of the policy that bothers you. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. I mean, so, I really think that I think that a medal should be given to everybody.
I actually do too. I mean, I have mixed feelings about that. I think when you get to the start line, if you've done your training and you try, you should be given a medal. However, I don't want to encourage people just to get to the start line knowing that, you know, they haven't trained for the 26 miles. They haven't trained for the 10K. But I think if people are giving it their best effort, they should still receive a medal. Yeah, as somebody who has, you know, I don't know if I'm going to finish all the races that I've done, but as somebody who has finished all the races that I've done so far, I have no problem with anybody who gets that start line and who tries their best getting a medal. But it is the way that it's been applied has been inconsistent. We've heard of people who have gotten it and other people who haven't. Mike?
Michelle, I think that the issue of being swept may be a deterrent to those who say, you know, I can just sign up and I'll get a medal and I can say I ran. But if you know that you're going to get swept and you're not going to get a medal, then that may deter you from signing up. So I think that's also part of the deal here, as to use that as a deterrent.
But there is sort of a scaffolding system for people who are entering running, because there's a 5K, there's a 10K.
Exactly.
There's a half, and I think it's important that people choose the race that is best suited to them. So I would hate for people who aren't ready to do a marathon to sign up and say, oh, I can do 3 miles and expect to get a medal. So, this might be an interesting panel discussion to have people talk about different perspectives on this. But I think what you're saying is that either way, it has to be consistent, and it isn't. But here's another thing I'm wondering, Mike, if the conditions are favorable to running and somebody gets swept, is that different than like last year's marathon where it was brutally hot and people who may have finished otherwise get swept? You know, they're different things that you have to consider. So it maybe should just be.
I'm glad I'm not making those decisions.
Yeah. Okay. So our next question is from Catherine Pease, and this is a question that we actually answered on our Facebook page, but because folks may not have seen the answer, I'm going to read it. And this is where Laura and Lee came in to help us out. Catherine says, "Hello, Mickey Milers. If I'm traveling to Disney from the West Coast, I'm going to be battling the time difference on top of everything else." And what she wants was advice for dealing with the time difference. She says for a recent race, she took the red eye. She had to force herself into pseudo Eastern Standard Time. And she said this is what she does every time she travels east, but she wanted some advice. So Lee and Laura, as I mentioned, Laura Gilbreth and Lee Zimmerman are from San Diego, and they have done a bunch of goofies. Laura says, "I don't think we have a strategy except dealing with it. I think the reality is no matter what time zone you're from, you're looking at 4 nights of not enough sleep. So I try to compensate a little by resting during the day. After each race, I try to take a nap and stay off my feet. And I believe hydration and eating well are also important in keeping me from getting totally out of whack." Lee says, "One of the bits of advice I try to follow is get a good night of sleep the night before the race, because you will never sleep great the night." Oh, I'm sorry. He's saying get a good night of sleep the night before the race. So 2 nights before the race, get a good night's sleep, because you will never sleep great the night before a race because of nerves, anticipation, a short night. That isn't going to help much for 4 nights, but not starting with a sleep deficit by shorting Tuesday night's sleep is a good idea. Other than that, you just try to get to bed at a reasonable time each night. Try to take a nap during the day. On a related note, while it's tempting to set an alarm for later to maximize sleep, set it for plenty early. I think we usually use 2:30. So you can get ready, eat, catch the bus with plenty of time. It is not worth to get the 30 minutes more sleep, but waste the energy being stressed out. What a great point. He also says the good news is that with 4 days of racing, she will start to adjust to Eastern Standard Time. So each morning should be a little easier to manage. I think this is great advice. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think if I was going to go to anybody for that advice, it would be both Lee and Laura, because they've done it so many times. And I think that his last point is really good, that after 4 days of racing, if you're doing something like the Dopey, you will adjust to Eastern Standard Time.
I've heard a number of experienced runners talk about that 2 nights before the race night being a really key thing in terms of your rest to make sure that you have just an excellent night's sleep. Because you know how you feel that night before a race. You want to make sure that you don't miss your alarm. You want to make, you know, you're thinking about, did I get everything ready to go? Am I going to make the bus? So I think that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Our final question comes from our buddy Emerson Pratt. Emerson says, has anyone gone to the new Fit to Run store at Downtown Disney yet? If so, how did you find it? Good range? I've been to the store in the Florida Mall a few times and found them pretty good, so I'm interested to see what the Walt Disney World store is like. I noticed the Walt Disney store doesn't have any organized group runs yet, which the Florida Mall store does 3 nights a week. Okay, Emerson, I have been to the Fit to Run store at Downtown Disney. I've actually spoken with Gary Robinson, the manager. He's a great guy. And the store is located right next to Disney Quest. It's not as big as the one that you mentioned in the Florida Mall, which I have also been to. And actually, Michelle and I have both been to the one at the Florida Mall. The store is not as big, again, as that Florida Mall. But what they have in there is basically the essentials. You've got the shoes. You've got the socks. You've got not too much clothes. Florida Mall store has more clothes. It has what you would normally look for. It's got watches. It's got compression gear. It has the Fitletics, which is the old iFitness belts. It has a lot of things that, you know, everything that a runner would need. And what's nice about that store, and I've talked with Gary about this, is that he and his staff are very, very adamant about making sure that when you walk out of the store, that you're walking out with the shoes that are best for you. And it's not like they try to make a sale. Also, one of the things that I've heard is that they have a very interesting policy. Within 30 days, if you don't find that the shoe that you purchase is good for you, just bring it back and they'll take it. So it's a very good addition to the running area in Orlando, I guess, because other than you know, maybe a Dick's Sporting Goods store or whatever, I guess Track Shack. Track Shack is good, but this is closer, especially for those who are visiting Walt Disney World and who need something.
I just I've really enjoyed going to the store. I went to the Florida Mall, I think, this past summer. They had some good sales. They have a club membership that I didn't take advantage of because I don't live in Florida, but I think it's a very smart move on their part with 46,000 people at January race weekend at, you know, the Princess, at Expedition Everest. Somebody's going to forget something, and yes, you could go to the expo, but you know, what if you want to be fitted for the type of shoes that you like to run in? It's very smart, and I think it's a great addition. So I think it's nice. I haven't been to the one in Downtown Disney yet, but
no, again, it's right next to Disney Quest.
And the other thing, too, is I want to point out that Eve Vanderpool put together a great blog about the store. It's on the Mickey Miles Podcast website. And you can go and find that under the blog section of the podcast. It has a lot of pictures and things like that.
I believe that's it, Michelle. Is there any other things that we need to talk about before we do our traditional sign-off?
Our traditional sign-off? Just a reminder again, go to the Tinkerbell meetup. We'd love to see pictures. We won't be there, but send pictures along, post, and you'll be in good hands with our buddy Eddie McCoy.
Very good. So for Michelle Scrivener McLean, and for all those who sent us those questions, thank you. Keep sending them in. This is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you're planning on going to the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend next year, or if you're going to go to any Disney destination, or for that matter, any non-Disney destination, it would serve you well to go visit the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. They will show you how to get the most out of your vacation dollar. And remember, they're a fee-free agency. So give them a try. Go visit the vacation planners at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or just click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.